Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Do you find yourself sobbing at the thought of your taxpayer-funded transgender basket weaving club losing its funding? You may be suffering from a common condition known as libtardism-induced meltdown. But don't worry, there's help. Introducing GrowAPair, the revolutionary prescription solution designed to help you accept reality. With just one dose a day, you'll start to understand that tax dollars aren't meant for gender numeral electric vehicle startups in Vietnam. After taking GrowAPair, you may notice life-changing improvements, such as smaller man boobs, the ability to fund your own transgender basket weaving without relying on Uncle Sam, and a newfound indifference to the defunding of the U.S. Department of Slope Sidewalk Studies. GrowAPair won't solve all your problems, but it can help you stop fixating on who's going to pay for DEI pudding packs in Cambodia.
Side effects may include dry mouth, increased common sense, employment, smaller man boobs, and lower taxes.
Ask your doctor if GrowAPair is right for you, because adulting is hard, but it doesn't have to be.
It is 7:35. Pete McVetti, how are you?
I'll talk as soon as I stop laughing.
I debated whether to play this or not, but I decided to do it anyhow. What the heck? It's humor.
It's humor.
It's humor.
It's humor. There's a lot of humor that people miss, and there's a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth because of it.
Right.
Specifically directed at the president, but you know, if you just listen to him and if you're watching him say it, you know, he's got the, you can tell.
You can tell.
He's joking.
It's 7:36. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Speaking of Pete McVetty, he is sitting across from me, and we're going to start a series here. DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, led by Elon Musk, is about to take a look at the Pentagon, at the Department of Defense. And as you know, we have a new defense secretary who is really focused on financial management and protecting the warfighter. Pete, you served at the Pentagon for how long?
I was at the Pentagon for 8 years.
And how long did you serve in the military overall?
20.
And you were a fighter pilot for the Navy for
yes.
How long?
Well, I flew for about 14-15 years.
14-15 years. So at the Pentagon for 8 years, you know, one of the things when I reached out to you about this, you said to me, it's been a while since you've been there. How long since you've been at the Pentagon?
About 15 years, I guess, yeah.
And I said to you, they have failed audits for 7 straight years, and their excuse is that their systems are antiquated, and they use a 1970s method for procurement. So I said to you, I suspect things haven't changed a whole heck of a lot. Just some of the leadership people have, but the operational stuff hasn't. And so I thought it would be good for you to talk about it in advance of DOGE really beginning to take a look at things. So you could share some of your thoughts from your 8 years there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, anybody to not pass an audit in 8 years and not do anything about it is a colossal failure of leadership. Whether it was under Trump or Biden or Obama or whoever.
Well, and I think it's a colossal failure to be humble. If you fail, humility should teach you something, but it apparently hasn't. Their arrogance in their failure. Their arrogance.
Yeah, please, yeah, come audit us. Yeah, okay. So now they're auditing them. And, you know, we saw it all the time. That you have your inspector generals, they'll do this thing and they'll do that thing, and they'll put out their report saying that you need to fix all this stuff, but nobody in the leadership forces it. So now there's a forcing function, and I think it's a great thing. During the late 80s to 90s, you know, when Clinton was in, there was this big push to do more with less. And we were, our budgets in the Navy, we were cut and cut and cut, and pretty soon we don't have enough money to, you know, be the war fighters that we're required to be, because there's rules that you have to do certain things in certain time frames, or, you know, so that you are prepared. And so that the readiness went way down, spare parts went way down. You can't fly because you don't have any spare parts because there's no money. Well, that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to do an in-depth audit and find out where the actual money is going. But they didn't do that. They haven't done that. And so we have no idea. So now Doge gets to do it. Great. I don't care who does it. Have somebody else come in. Have an outside somebody come in. But it's got to be without politics. It's got to be purely on the numbers and where is all this money going? You know, in D.C., even if you're active duty military and you're not a political beast, the politics just is infused in everything. And so you have to, the only way to do something and do it correctly and get to the bottom of it is to bring somebody from the outside that isn't government, that one way or another you can trust to do the right thing because they're not motivated by making money or furthering their cause. So to have the richest guy in the world who has done some amazing things, technology, he brought him in.
Right.
Because he champions Trump now, but he wasn't really politically active for up until recently.
Right, exactly. Right?
He kind of kept below the radar screen. And we know this because the Democrats loved him, just like they loved Trump before he ran for president.
Well, he was getting, like many people who don't have his wherewithal, concerned about the future of the country. It's great to be the richest man in the world, but if the currency of the country falls because the country's government is insolvent and your money is based on the dollar, well, you're not so rich anymore.
Well, I suppose, but that's in the future. For right now, he's the richest man in the world. Off he goes. So,
but I mean, my only point was he's worried about America's future, as every American should be.
Yes. Yeah. So I think he's the right guy to do it. He's obviously brilliant. And people will say, well, he's not that brilliant. You know, he's not making the rockets. But they're his rockets.
Right.
So he may not be brilliant
be
in
like
zeros
saying,
and ones, but he's brilliant as a businessman. He's better than everybody.
It'd be like saying Henry Ford didn't make the car, so is he really that smart? He created the modern assembly line.
Yeah.
That was genius.
Genius.
It
reusable rockets.
Right. Changed everything. I grew up near Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, whatever they call it now. And we used to go and watch the rockets take off, and it was fascinating. And even if we didn't go, we could still see them once they got in the air if it was a clear day from our home. And, you know, as a kid, it was just extraordinary, you know, watching the rocket that took off to go to the moon.
They were so cool at night.
Yeah. Oh, it was so crazy. And then to see Elon Musk actually have a rocket land back, you know, one of the points that had always been made, you make these billion-dollar rockets and then you drown them in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, we're not doing that anymore because Musk has figured out a way to have that rocket be recaptured by the place it took off.
Yeah, and something the size of the Empire State Building can be caught with two chopsticks.
It's amazing.
In midair.
I mean, I watched it. I watched it live, you know, when Trump watched it. You know, he was there.
Yeah.
And the crowd was losing their minds watching that rocket. It was just crazy. And I was cheering. I was up in my room. I was sitting on the ottoman in my bedroom, and I was watching it happen, and I was cheering because it was cool.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's the guy that's going through and finding this fraud, waste, and abuse. And I'm not sure it's so much waste, but fraud.
Well, that's what I think it is. It's fraud.
Latest one that they came out with yesterday. You know, call these people out. Hey, I don't care if you're a sitting senator or a sitting congressman. Go to jail.
Right. Of course. Why are they immune from jail?
Right.
You know, it's like the government, the Ponzi schemes they run, and they run a lot of them. It's like right now what Janet Mills is doing with this taxing prescription drugs and ambulances. It's a scheme. It's a con job on the people of Maine where she will jack up the costs. So, as I said yesterday, what she's doing, you get 62% of $80. That's one amount of that money. But you get 62% of $100. That's another amount of money. That's what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's trying to jack the price up to that $100 level so she can get more money from the federal government to the states. It's a con job. And she'll get away with it because the Democrats in Augusta will just say, my God, you're so brilliant. But no, it's a con job. It's a fraud scheme. but it's legal because it's the government. You said something really important, and I don't want it to be lost. The inspector generals will do their job. First of all, do you believe they do their job?
No.
Okay.
No. No. But they put out reports and people look at them and then they don't follow the recommendations.
But I mean, does the inspector general do its job? Meaning, they review things and put out reports, but the reforms don't take place, or are they just as awful as the rest of the bureaucracy?
Well, obviously, if you've got a report that says you did these things badly, these are the fixes you need to do, and you don't do them, then they have no teeth.
Right.
Right. The reason. Well, we'll wait to see. But for Musk, he's got the teeth behind him with the president.
Right.
They're going to take action.
Yes.
So it's the political leadership has to be willing to actually do something about it. And that's been lacking both at the state government, but for nationally as well.
So go back to the Pentagon. If you were Pete Hegseth, based on your 8 years there, forget what's going on right now, but just based on your 8 years there, what's the number one reform you would put in place?
Oh. I think I'd look really hard at the procurement process. When I got out of the military, I went to work for a large security company for a couple of years, and I was their contracts administrator. And so I had to get up on speed on, you know, government procurement processes. And then you take a lot of classes, but dealing with, in this case, we had the Cape Canaveral Air Force Base contract to provide security for that during launches and things like that. And we had several Navy bases. And working through the procurement process and then the whole process of dealing with the Air Force and what they thought legally it said and what we thought, it was just a mess. Just a total mess. We're in there all the time, you know, talking about words. I think that it's bloated. For example, the government, when you have a union contract, like we would have union police officers, when the union contract came up for a renewal, we would go down and talk to them, and compromise with them and come up with a new union contract. And they always want more money. And the thing about the government contracts is if you agree with the union to pay your guys $2 an hour more, you get to submit that to the U.S. government, and the U.S. government can't say, now, wait a second, what are you doing? Give them a 20% raise. The government can't get in between the private company negotiating. And it's a pass-through, right? So you bid on a project for $1 billion, and then you go in to negotiate with the union when you start the contract, and you give them $2 an hour more, and that gets thrown over to the government.
Right.
And they have to pay it. And so all of a sudden, your contract's gone up by X amount of money. There's no savings there through the, you know, there's just more money, more money, more money. And there's no... there's nothing that is to keep the company in the negotiations to keep the prices down and the wages down. So you see, like in Kings Bay, Georgia, the starting salary 17, 18 years ago, or whatever it was $25 an hour for a brand new beat cop, basically. $25 an hour, the average in that region was $15 an hour. So you're way outside the norm for where you're living because it's a government contract. And well, great.
Does that make you sick to your stomach?
Yeah, they didn't have to pay that much. They would get the same service.
I mean, even if they paid a premium and it was 20, it would have been $5 above the norm in the region. But they didn't do that. That's the kind of stuff they just take advantage. And of course, the government has so much money rolling in. They don't actually care.
Well, that's obvious with DOGE doing what it's doing. So I kind of wish, I mean, and DOGE is just a one part.
Right.
There's lots of places in the government that could use DOGE to come in and get them squared away.
I mean, this is a long standing joke. What would cost a hammer for you or I, you could go and buy one for $10. But they're 400 or 500 a hammer for the government.
So
think of all the government contracts that they've signed.
So did you ever see a movie called Contact with Jodie Foster, like 1997? It was about contact with the, you know, that there are actually other beings out there. So there was a guy in the movie, very, very wealthy guy, called H.R. Haddam. And he was a, you know, a big industrialist. And at one point, when they're going to, what they think is blow her into space to go meet these people, the whole thing blows up. And so everybody thinks it's over, it was poorly constructed, blah, blah, blah. And then when she gets back to wherever it was, she was in Arizona or whatever, there's a video. They'd gone into a room and set up a video where he could talk to her and said, do you still want to go into space? And she said, well, I would love to, but we know what happened. And he shows her where in Southeast Asia they had built the exact same thing. And she's like, where did you get the money to do that? And his response was, you don't really think hammers cost $400, do you? In other words, you know, hammers were costing $400, but it wasn't because of the hammer. It was because of what they were doing with the excess money somewhere. And my only point is, that makes you wonder, because when you see this crazy funding that we have, we end up paying for things that we know should never cost what they cost, but it's because they're deferring the money to something else.
Right. And I'm under the mind of these secret programs and stuff. I was read into a bunch of stuff, and now I don't remember what it is, because I can't.
You can't remember.
And you can't not, even. Let me rephrase that.
You're not allowed to remember.
That's right. Say they exist, but we all know they exist, and they got to be paid for somehow. But I'm more under the mind that, hey, tell the enemy exactly what you can do, and maybe they won't mess with you. You know, not the details, but hey, we have these capabilities, and we funded them, you know, and put it, shine a bright light, go back to, if you need to fund a secret program, you say program X is funded for $2 billion. Nobody needs to know what it is. They might want to know, but you don't necessarily need to know, but at least we know where the money's going, and hammers don't cost $400, because everybody knows that that's a lie. Everybody knows that it's going someplace.
Right.
We hope is good for the country, but you know, we don't really.
But we don't actually know.
No.
We don't know if it's working for us or against us.
If you have people that are actually honest about it, then you don't actually need to know. But we know that that's not the case. People aren't honest, especially our congressmen that are enrich themselves while they're there.
Right.
So we need to shine some light on it. And do we take a hit on national security? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, there's some arguments there, but I think that if we could get trust back in the government and get people on the doing the right thing, like not lying, not stealing from you and me, then I think we'll all be better off. Can you imagine, Ray, if we balanced the budget and paid off this debt, once that's over, do you know how much money this country would have available to do good things?
Absolutely.
And we pay cash for it.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. We're not ever going to pay off the debt. That's never going to happen. It's $36.5 trillion right now. And with the path we're on, even with Doge, it's still going to be $50 trillion by, 2032, 2033, even if they can cut back on some stuff. But you just said something that's really important. And I watched Jasmine Crockett yesterday. She's a congresswoman from somewhere. I don't know. Don't care. She's as lunatic as any other person in that Congress. And she stood up and said, and what she was basically saying, she was talking to Republicans, MAGA people, she said, you know, y'all are dumb, but you're going to wake up when you realize you don't have Social Security anymore. They took it away. You don't have Medicare anymore. They took it away. You don't have this. You don't have that. None of that stuff's being taken away. These people are fear mongers because the truth is, and I don't give a damn she's a lawyer or not, I could pass the bar without going to law school. I mean, I know the law because I've studied it. I don't care if she's a lawyer or not. She's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, she's Angus King's right there with
walking her. Around idiot, saying that kind of stuff. What's she trying to do?
Scare.
Trying to scare people. And what kind of a person does that? What kind of a person in a position of power seeks to scare people, particularly those she represents?
Yeah.
Why would she scare them? Social Security is not going away. I don't care what anybody says. Even if they do have to diminish the payment of benefits at some point because, well, we let the Ukrainian refugees get Social Security. You know, we just let anybody jump in on everything we do. But Social Security itself won't go away until it just collapses on its own because nobody, and I mean nobody, not even Donald John Trump, has the stones to do anything about it.
That's right.
Because it's a third rail of politics, and you're assured that the rest of your agenda is defeated if you go after it. Because old people, they may be in walkers, they may be in wheelchairs, but they will mount up.
They will, and they'll vote. And unfortunately, they believe these politicians when they say, oh, he's going to take it all away.
He's not going to do any. You know what he's going to do to Social Security? He's going to strengthen it.
Right.
By getting rid of people who are defrauding it.
Correct.
When Joe Biden stands there and said, anybody wants to touch Social Security, you know, I'm going to be their nightmare. Joe, the CBO of the government you run says it will be insolvent by 2032. If you don't do something, you are as irresponsible as anybody that walked the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, that was fell on death fears.
Yeah, well, he's just these people, but they're just fear. You know why? Because they have no ideas for America. They have no ideas for America. So they just do this stuff. I watched Jasmine Crockett yesterday say Social Security is going away, Medicare is going away. And you MAGA people will wake up when those two things happen. That's not going away. They're going to try to strengthen the program by getting rid of the fraud. If somebody's cashing checks after grandma died, they're defrauding Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to jail.
It's just bizarre. And they're fighting this being uncovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they yeah. want to get rid of is people. You know, I've been watching on social media some funeral directors saying, no, it doesn't happen. When somebody dies, we send to Social Security immediately that they are dead. Well, that's assuming that everybody goes into a damn funeral home. If you're looking to defraud Social Security because you've been living off grandma's Social Security, you're not going to send them to the funeral home so that you can be found out. I mean, it's the most unbelievable thing in the world to me. The only places in this country where there is no fraud, there's fraud in everything else. Social Security, Medicare, and voting. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
fraud, and fraud.
Yeah. And the fraud undermines the programs.
Yeah, the credibility of the programs are totally shot.
Yeah. Well, financially, they're insolvent. They're going to be unsustainable. The CBO, which is not a political entity, the Congressional Budget Office, has said they're unsustainable financially in the current path.
Yeah, and I kind of believe the CBO because
they've
been saying the same thing no matter what the administration
Well, and they
is.
Keep giving financial updates to back up what they're saying. They're being transparent here.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is crazy. So if we don't want to raise taxes, if we don't want to take the cap off of wages so that your entire wages are taxed for Social Security, if we don't want to do that and we don't want to reduce benefits, well, maybe if we got rid of the fraud, it could make the program more solvent.
Do you think?
But they don't, you know, people like Jasmine Crockett are standing up there saying this stuff. I think they're all complicit in this. I know that's conspiratorial, but I do. I think they're all complicit in it, and they are worried to damn death that Elon Musk is going to expose them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe it.
And he should.
No, we're going to do this with Pete every week here. Are you hanging around?
With that guy?
Yeah.
You bet.
Okay, well, I didn't know if you had to leave or not. No.
I do have to leave, but
I know you work.
Yeah.
You're one of the few in Maine that do.
Yeah.
There's 1.4 million, and we only have 680,000 that are working. So
I'm just one of them.
You're one of the 680. So,
yeah.
Bill Diamond is here. We look forward to talking with him. And Bill Diamond is working on fraud in an entirely different realm, and he's going to talk more about it. It's 7:58.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic and they want to be part of something bigger.
My future looks great at Moody's. The sky's the limit here.
If you're looking for a job and a great opportunity in a career, we're hiring at Moody's.
I'm Bill Diamond, founder of Walk a Mile in Their Shoes.
The Maine Department of Health and Human Services has been